Good morning. So glad to have you here this morning and be able to be in this place. Jesus said he came to seek and save those that were lost. That's important. He's not out here looking for people that think they're right, that know they're right. He came to seek and save those that were lost. He didn't waste his time with those that were righteous in themselves. He came seeking me and he found me. And he didn't give up on me. A lot of people gave up on me. Come on, somebody's gave up on you before in your life. God never, he never gives up. He chases. It says, surely goodness and mercy is following me. They're chasing you. God's chasing his kids because he wants them. Amen? He's good. He never gives up. All the time. Yeah, the Lord mentioned that to me one day. You know, surely goodness and mercy is following you. He just said, won't you turn around and let them catch you? Just go ahead and turn around and let goodness and mercy catch you. Give you that Holy Ghost hug. And then they're always with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He knew he had to leave. In the body, he knew he had to leave because guess what? One day, our bodies are leaving. We're leaving this place. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we're going out of here. Jesus had to leave, but he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless or abandoned or orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. Amen. In the spirit, he doesn't have a flesh body like Jesus operated in. He has a spirit body. Not only is he with us, he's on the inside of us. 24/7, guiding us, teaching us, encouraging us, strengthening us. Bringing healing to us. Amen?
Amen.
I love that song we were singing. God is our hiding place. We can hide underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. That's the shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's another shadow we're in. Amen? We're underneath the shadow of the Almighty.
Yes.
It don't matter if you're in the valley. You're in His shadow. You're coming out. Because He's the Almighty. He created the mountains. He created the valleys. There's peace in those valleys. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. He gives us peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Get lost in His valley. Get lost in His presence. And you'll never be without a song to sing, Terry said. You'll never be without that song to sing. Because He gives them to us. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Turn with me, if you would, please. We can never have too much of His Word. But I want to encourage you out of the Scriptures this morning concerning your giving this morning. God is not slack. Come on, I didn't hear no amen on that. God is not slack concerning His promises. Ain't no slackness in Him. Mama used to tell me, I'm going to jerk that slack out of you. You remember that? I'm going to jerk the slackness out of you. She's talking about that belt. Daddy, pop that belt. You didn't want to hear that belt pop. You knew Pop was coming with the belt. Make that thing snap and pop. A willow switch. That's right. Our generation don't see a lot of things that we saw. I read a little thing on Facebook said if my kids talk back to me, if I talk back to my parents like my kids talk back to me, they said, I wouldn't be here. Back in their day, Mama slapped you right quick, Junior. My mom's 78 years old now. She can't run like she used to, but she used to catch me. I couldn't run but so far. We lived on the lake, and she knew I couldn't swim. I'd get to the edge of the water. That's it. I should have went on the first call. You know, the Bible says it's going to be at the last trump. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be ready. Bible says, watch and pray. Don't make God speak to you twice. He says, come up hither, you go. Be ready. We're talking about His Word. We're gonna hear His voice. Amen. Some people are not gonna hear His voice. But concerning your giving this morning, I want to take you in the book of Colossians. Terry, this is probably not on your sheet, but Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. This is talking about legalism. There's no legalism with Christ. Colossians 2:11 says, "In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised, circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." Buried with him, say, "I'm buried with him." We are buried with, my sins are buried with him. See, circumcision represents the covenant. Christ, I'm in covenant with him now. And he has cut away the flesh. The flesh of sin has been cut away. Buried with him in baptism. In your finances, we're buried in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him. God raised Jesus from the dead, his Father. 13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you," you need to hear this, "having forgiven you all trespasses." All trespasses. The devil comes to your house, get your no trespassing sign up. Put it on the door. Not literally, but you need to know this. No trespassing, devil. God has forgiven them. You can't trespass here no more. Jesus lives here. 14, "having wiped out," you need to underline that word, wiped out. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." That cross represented, he disarmed, the next verse, he has disarmed principalities, powers, and he made a public spectacle of the devil on that cross. What I want you to know here concerning your finances, that word wiped out literally means obliterated. You remember Star Trek? They take them phasers out and they were obliterated. They were completely gone, vaporized. Jesus, by the cross, wiped out the handwriting. And that word handwriting, and this is what really ministered to me, meant a certificate of debt. Uh-oh. Come on now. Anybody been in debt before? Maybe be in debt? Jesus nailed it to the cross. He nailed our debt, sin debt, to the cross. Also, covered in that was the curse that was in the law of Deuteronomy. The curse of the law. Debt, anything that was in that curse, sickness, disease, poverty, has been nailed. That certificate was nailed to the cross and Jesus obliterated it. You think about the mortgage note you might have or some notes that you shouldn't have. Think about them in the spirit as Jesus tore them up. That doesn't mean you don't pay them. That means you're free from that. Trust in him. Put your finances into the kingdom of God. Trust God that it's, that debt has been met through his blessing, through his favor. And trust him. Continue to give unto his work. Trust in him, and that favor, that goodness and mercy is following you, is going to catch you, and he's going to make things work out in your life. It might not happen tomorrow, but it is happening today. Okay, get it? That's spiritual now. You got to get a hold of that. You might not see it tomorrow, but you believe it, it's happening today. Because God's not slack concerning his promises. You give with a heart of love, not expecting a debt to pay to God, but expecting my debt is obliterated in God. That's the key. He's your source. Not me, not your pastor. I'm to help you know that God is your source. And he says, I've never. David said, I've never. He said, David said, I've never seen the righteous. Who's righteous in here? You're born again, get your hand up. Because I want the devil to see this. You born again, you're righteous in God. And David said, I've never seen the righteous out begging for bread. He's never seen them forsaken. And his seed, God's seed, out there begging for bread. You don't have to be a beggar. You're a believer. Amen. Let's stand right there. You're a believer. Believe when you give to God this morning. And God doesn't look at the amount. He's looking at your heart. Let God deal with the amount. Give it. He's a good guy to invest into. I'd say he's a good father to invest into his kingdom. Because he gives 30, 60, 100 fold. Well, if he's asking, what do you want? I want 100 fold. Daddy, I'll take 100. If I'm going to give you 100 or 30, Terry, what would your son take?
I know.
Daddy opens up the wallet. There's 100 and there's a 240s there, 220s there. What you taking, Reed? All of it. There we go. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take it all. God's big enough to fill the supply back up. Especially when he sees my kids out there giving. See, we're faithful stewards of God's work. You can't outgive God. He gave Jesus. He gave all that he had. And he still has more. I said, he still has more. He gave the best, but he's got more in store for you. And Jesus is right there with him saying, Father, I agree. Let's give him some more. Some good measure. Some pressed down. Some shaken together. Let's show the devil how bad he lost it. How bad he messed it up by being a blessing to somebody, helping somebody. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we're believers here and we're believing that what we give today, Father God, it's not disappearing. Our debt is obliterated. It's gone. You nailed it to the cross, Jesus. You let them nail you to the cross. And by faith in that sacrifice, I'm telling debt to get out of my life. I'm telling the poverty, you have no trespassing. You cannot trespass in my house or in my family or in my children's children. Because the Bible said, I will lay up an inheritance to my children's children. So, Father, we just thank you for that. We believe what you said in your word. Jesus, we trust you that you are forever making intercession for us in heaven. And Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry, that you empower us. You empower us to go out and be a blessing. And Satan, we give you great pleasure to tell you you're defeated and you're underneath our feet. And we, Father, we thank you, Lord, for our angels that hearken to the voice of God, that go and move obstacles out of our way, Father, and take us to that wealthy place in you. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bring your offering this morning. Know that God has obliterated your debt. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. I wish I had that happy song. I'd play it. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these gifts. These financial gifts that were brought here this morning, Lord, they were brought to the altar. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that they are investing now into the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the anointing of increase upon each giver today, Father God, that has blessed you. And Lord, we know that you said, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So, Father, we're thanking you right now for the harvest, for the great harvest of souls and for finances into our life, Father God, into the kingdom of God, that we can show others how much a blessing it is to give and do your work. So we just thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's a holy thing when you worship the Lord with your finances. And I've shared, I'm not going to talk about it this morning, but I've shared about that's the least area that Jesus talked about. If we can't trust God in our finances, we're deceiving ourselves to think that we can trust Him for healing or for our children getting born again or walking in the blessings of God, because that represents the majority of our time we spend in this world is working, is doing something with our hands. And then all God did, all He does is He asks for 10%. And He doesn't need that, but He needs us to be obedient to His word so that God can't lie. And He set things in order. And if we get in His plan, we will be blessed. Get into the flow. Get into that flow, His flow of abundance. And it's coming from heaven, from the Spirit. See, this is not, I can see this. I can touch this. So that's George Washington. I never met the man, but I can touch him right here. I can touch his picture. But see, that's something I can touch. That's not faith. Money's not the object. God is the sole purpose of why I give. Because I love Him. Love gives everything that I have. This is just a part of what I have. But God has given you everything and me everything. How can I not give back to Him? If I don't know Him, I won't, because I've been there. I'll say this is mine. But baby, the first thing they learn is mine. Mine. See, it's just the nature that we're born into, this corruptible sin nature from the beginning. But God, everybody say, but God,
is now
who I trust. Amen? And I trust my country. And then, you know, I trust the goal. I trust God put me in this place that He's working some things out. But God is gracious. And I want to get started here because I'm going to try to go through some pages today. And Terry might be, the computer might be burning trying to keep up with me back here. But you're going to get something today. Because God's word is alive. He's not dead. Remember that movie was out? God is not dead. He is alive. And you are. And I am. My flesh is decaying. This flesh is decaying. It's getting older. Some hairs are gone that used to be there. But I'm not looking at the outward man. And God is not either. Because the outward man is getting older. But the inward man, the Bible says, is getting newer, getting stronger, is renewed day by day. I'm getting younger every day. See, I'm on my way. I'm on a journey. We're on a journey. This is not my destination. This is not my home. At that funeral I ministered to for Darren, there was a song that says, "This is not my home. This is just God. This is a body that I'm in until my eternal destiny with God the Father, where He is the light. In Him is no darkness. There is no sun there, for He lights the city." Hallelujah. That's God. Don't ask me how. He just does it. I talked to Miss Jean when she was here one time. I'm like, "I'm not sure about that, Miss Jean. I like to shut my eyes and go to sleep." But it says there'll be no darkness there. But you know what? I better get my sunglasses out. I better get used to it, right? Because wherever He is, there's fullness of joy. However I deal with that, not having the lights off, I don't care. I know God has got it all worked out. He's prepared a place for us. He's preparing a place for us. It might already be done. I don't know, but He's preparing it. And if He said He is, He said, "I'm coming back." He's coming back. He's not preparing an empty house for you. There's no houses in heaven is going to be vacant. They're going to say, "No vacancy. This is mine." From the foundations of the world, God has it all mapped out, laid out. The blueprint's already been made. It says that in Revelation in the book of life. He knows the names that's going to be. So there's some names still being written in there. Amen? But He knows who's going to receive Him. Mine's in there. I've received. You received Jesus? He is the Lamb that has the authority to open up the book and says, "Father, they're in the book. Let them in." And when that day comes, that's your ticket. That's your ticket to heaven is Jesus. Hallelujah. And that's our ticket. That's our ticket to divine guidance that we're going to pick up on here is knowing Jesus and following Him. See, he told His disciples, "Follow me." He's still saying that, "Follow me." He's left bodily. He has left this place, but His spirit is still saying, "Follow me. I want to take you to great places that you've never even thought you could get there." He wants to take you there. And it takes us knowing, not with our mind, but with our spirit, that God is faithful. He is faithful. See, a lot of times as human beings, and this is our natural mind, we don't want to put trust really out there because we know somebody's failed us before. And sometimes we want to take that and we want to compare that. That's the way God is. That's not the way God is. I said that's not the way God is. Even when I'm not faithful, He's faithful. That's why when He cut a covenant with Abraham, He said, "Because I could cut one no higher, I'm going to agree with myself." And He's not never coming out of the covenant. Because He knew our sin nature. He knew our problem. It wasn't that He was looking down here and saying how unworthy we are. No, He's saying, "Because I love you so much, I'm going to cut this covenant with myself. That no matter what you do, no matter how bad you've messed up, Jesus' blood is worthy. It's worthy for your sin. Past, present, and future. What you do tomorrow has been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus." And if you mess up, you still say, "Father, forgive me." That's just helping your own conscience know that you're forgiven. I ain't saying you don't confess it, but I want you to know that it's powerful. It's already been taken care of. He's already taken care of it. Amen? That makes you worthy. But week 4 here, talking about divine guidance. What takes place on the inside of a believer when you get born again? That you're able to hear God. These are some things that takes place that you might know, you might have never heard of, but believe me, it's in the Bible. And I don't know it all, but I know in part. That's what Paul said. I don't know everything, but I know in part. And I'm going to tell you what revelation I have. And the rest, he would say sometimes, he said, "I'm not there in the flesh, but I know this in my heart. The rest I'll set in order when I get there." You can't say but so much in a letter, right? You write so much. He said, but the rest, I'm trusting God that will set in order when I get there. And I'm trusting when I come in here, God's got some things He wants to say that I know nothing about. You say, preacher, you don't know nothing? No, I know Him, amen, but I don't know everything. He tells me what I need to know when I need to know it. As men, we've heard that, we say that a lot. If a wife tells you to do something, you say, what are you doing? I'm on a need-to-know basis. I'm doing what I need to know when I need to know it. Don't try to put too much on my brain at one time, Mama. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm on a need-to-know basis. What do you need me to do? That's what I need to know. Larry was doing a good ministry of helps back here this morning with Millie, helping her. She wanted to stand on the pew. He's standing her up. She's wanting to color. I don't know what all she was wanting to do, but Larry was busy. What can I do? What can I do? See, that's a blessing. In some churches, you might think, can he not keep that girl still back here? Does he not know that the Holy Ghost is moving? That does not distract God. You know what distracts God? Rejection. Religion. Well, he ain't doing it right. Well, she ain't saying it right. Well, she ain't singing it right. That's what God, it's like it stinks in his nostrils. Just religion. We're not to judge one another. Amen. We're to love one another. Amen. God is the judge. His word is going to judge you. We're called to love one another. I'm not saying we don't correct, and the word's there for correction, for reproof, all that. But we're called to love one another. And that's what it's about. It's about getting on the love boat. Y'all remember the love boat? It had nothing to do with God, believe me. It's a totally different boat. But it was a pretty funny series. Not too bad, but there was another love boat that Peter knew about. It wasn't a vessel you could see. It was a vessel of faith. He jumped out of a boat that was sinking onto the love boat. Walked on that water to love. He was walking to Jesus, who is the love boat. He has all the love that we need. Amen. We might not even get in a divine guidance. We just might be in the love boat today. Thank you, Jesus. He is your love boat. Get in His boat. You don't even need a life jacket. His boat does not sink. Did I say doesn't? I was born in the South. If anybody listens to this on the internet, we from the South down here. He's still saying follow Him. How do we know what takes place on the inside of a believer? The Word of God is what reveals our makeup, who we are, why we're here, where we're going. It all is in this book. This is your roadmap to God, to a relationship with God. Amen? It ain't about what you do. It's about how much you know of Him to know that, no, that ain't God. See, there's a lot of voices out here in this world that ain't God. They try to look like God, act like God, but they ain't God. Because if they don't have love, there's no part of God. I'm talking about unconditional love. I love God different than I love my cat. Different type of love, right? Because some days I don't love my cat. I'm saying my cat because somebody's feeding the cat. Now it's become our cat. Right, Larry? You feed cats. You might as well say, that's my cat. But what if you're not the one feeding the cat, but it's still coming to your house? You got kids? Guess what? It's your cat. Your kids keep feeding it. It's your cat. But I don't love my cat like I love God. Different type of love. And God doesn't love you like He would love a cat. God is love. It's unconditional love. No matter if you feed the cat, you were bad that day and you didn't feed that cat, Larry, God still loves you. He said you're supposed to take care of every creature in this Bible, right? It says you can judge a man by looking how he treats his animals, whether the love of God is in there. But God doesn't judge us by what we do. He judges us by what Christ did. Hallelujah. And that's been nailed to the cross. Love was nailed to the cross so that I could have and know that unconditional love that passes, Paul said, it passes all knowledge of what I can know here. It's all about your heart. This is the difference in the believer. And the Word of God is what reveals that in Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick, it's alive, and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of your soul and your spirit. Say, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul. And I live in a body. See, you're a three-part being. And the Word of God is able to go in there and help you understand this is happening in your soul. This is really not happening in your spirit. So when you came in here this morning, we're talking about how to be led by God. Some days I don't feel like praising God. But that's not who I am. That's my soul. That's in my soul. Because I'm dealing with all these things right now. The banker called. The mortgage is due. The power bill is due. The library book is overdue. Oh, Lord, here's overdue. I've got due and I've got overdue. Lord, what do I do? What do I do, Lord? I go to Hebrews. Thank God I got a spirit. In the spirit, there's fullness of joy. I have joy. It says it's in my spirit. It's a fruit of the spirit. So I got to start drawing up some fruit. I got to draw up some joy. Because in the presence of the Lord, I got my strength back. Now I got my confidence back. Now I start speaking the word. Because that's where we find our deliverance. Proverbs 20:27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." See, your spirit is right here in your belly. Some of us look like we have more spirit than others. That's not true. Your spirit is on the inside of you, and it's kind of right here. The Bible talks about your heart. It's right here on the inside. In Jerusalem, Israel is the center of the universe, center of the earth, Israel. Your spirit is in the center of your body. It's in the center of who you are. That's where your heart is. That's your major organ right there. And see, you need the breastplate of righteousness to protect that heart. You need to know that you are right standing with God when you get born again to protect who you are in your spirit. See, don't let people determine who you are. Don't let your job determine who you are. You let the Word of God reveal to you who you are. You're not going to know it. I don't know everything who I am, but I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm justified. I know I'm prosperous. That's who God said. That's what God's saying about you. God speaks to your spirit. He doesn't speak to your mind. That's your soulish realm. That's where you... Now, you make a decision to receive Jesus in that mind, and that hooks right to your spirit. Because Romans 10:9-10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Man believeth. He's got to believe in his heart. That's your spirit. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. When you do that, you're saved. You're born again. Your spirit is sealed, made right with God from that point. Now, that Word of God, that you're born again, it also reveals who you are, the intents of your heart. God speaks to our spirit and impresses our mind. Remember, we talked about impression a couple of Sundays ago, how that the Word of God, it makes an impression on you. It makes a mark on you. Not one that you can see outwardly, but inwardly. Talking about the circumcision of your heart. And God makes an impression on you and on your mind. But that mind, you have to stay renewed. You have to have your Wheaties every morning to be an Olympic champion. Now, they probably wasn't eating Wheaties, but if you want to get your cover on the book, if you want to get your picture on the cover of the book on the box of Wheaties, you're going to need to know something about training, about being prepared, about what to eat, what not to eat. Darius could help us out right there about training, being prepared, getting his body prepared. Well, the main thing, and a lot of the world doesn't know, is your spirit is the real you. That's where they need to draw from. Because guess what? One day they're not going to be a runner. One day they're not going to be an Olympic champion. Then who are you going to be? Where are you going? What are you going to be drawing from? You're going to draw from your athletic ability? From your smarts? From your mind? You're going to find nothing there once you've hit that peak and you're on the way down. But on the inside of your spirit is who you are in Christ. You're as the Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. That's the real you. That's who you need to identify with. If you don't, sooner or later, you're going to have an identity crisis. When your hair is not as thick as it used to be, and you're relying on your looks, and you're like, Lord, I need these looks. If you're single, I hadn't found that helpmeet you have. I need this hair. I need this mustache. I need these muscles. That's not what you need. You need to know. See, she's looking for something on the inside. Now, there's a lot of them out there looking for the outside, but that outside is going to get old. It's going to get a little flabby one day. Hair might not be quite as thick. But it's the inward beauty that is what we need to be as Christians looking for. Because that's going to last through eternity. Amen? The Word of God is what you need to know in order to hear God's direction accurately. See, now, what you know in your mind about the Word, that's good. That's a help, too. But to hear it accurately, you need to hear it in your spirit. Know it in your spirit. And that word belly in Proverbs, it talks about the innermost part of our being, the heart. And you got to take it in context. Sometimes in the Bible, when it talks about heart, it can be talking about your spirit, or it can be talking about your soul. And you need to know there's a difference there. And you need to read the context and know what that, in that context, what it's speaking of. The heart of man is made up of two parts, the spirit and the soul, is what I was talking about. One must look at the context to determine what God's speaking you to. A person's spirit, in 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, let's flip there. 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, of the makeup, of the earrings, the wearing of the gold, or a putting on of apparel. Next verse, but what is it? What are we looking for? Where are we going to hear God? 1 Peter 3, 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Jesus talked about the hypocrites on the street, how they loved praying, and they loved being loud and repetitious. They were saying the same prayer every day, at the same time every day. But it was not from their heart. It was vain reputation, and that was not pleasing to God. He was looking for that inward witness, that inward heart. This, a good prayer to pray sometime is, Lord, help. I need help. That's a good prayer to pray, because He's your helper. The comfort of the Holy Ghost is your helper. You're saying, God, I need your help. And guess what? He is there to help you. Then listen. Remember, we've got two ears, right? Listen. What's He saying? He'll tell you, get in the book. Open the book. And as you read the book, ask Him. Ask, seek, and knock. Lord, I don't. This is King James. I'm not familiar. Get you an Amplified Bible. It does, you know, get you a good version that maybe is suitable for you. But the main thing is, ask the Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to me, reveal love to me here, Lord. And as you read, you'll be astonished. You'll be overcome with the presence and the power of God in your life, because His Word is alive, and it'll bring you alive. It'll bring you out of distress. It'll bring you out of pain, out of suffering, out of sickness. It'll bring you out. The spirit of a person becomes born again, and that's John 3, 3. And that spirit, once you're born again, you are a new creation. You're a new species. Don't let anybody tell you you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And you're going to mess up, just be expecting to sin. See, don't be expecting to sin. Be expecting to be an overcomer of sin. Because, see, then you're trusting God. You're expecting God to help you overcome this situation, not to be overcome by the situation. Amen. Big difference. Big difference. God has made you a king and a priest. A king is an overcomer. David was an overcomer. But he overcame by going to his knees and praying to God and asking for help. He prayed the word because he knew the covenant. He knew he had a covenant with God. No matter what he did, he had that covenant. God would not forsake him. And you need to know that God, no matter how bad you miss it, God just still loves you. He still loves you. He's saying, come home. He's saying to Brandon, come home. God has never changed His message. Come home. Your home is here. It's here waiting. Just come home. Now, mom and daddy, when we're raised with our kids, there's rules in the home, right? See, God has rules and regulations. But He doesn't want us to serve Him by that. He wants us to love Him and know those rules and regulations. See, we still got to correct them. The Word is there for our correction, but it's not there to be a bat or a belt. It's to love. See, I love you, and I don't want you to do certain things. I tell you this because I love you. A lot of times, as parents, we can't be friends. We've got to be parents. We've got to tell them things that. Maybe one of their friends wouldn't want to tell them, because then they might not be their friend. We need to tell them the truth in love so God can keep them out of situations. We can only worship God in spirit and in truth. When we came in here this morning, that's what Terry was telling us in John 4, 24. Says, God is a spirit. And those who worship Him, how do we worship Him? In spirit and in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we worship God in spirit and truth, we worship God in spirit, we worship Jesus, and there is the Holy Spirit to bring us God's life, the wisdom that we need that day. It's not what we do in our flesh. It's what we do in our heart when we come in here. I might not be the best singer. I might not be the best clapper. A lot of times I wait till I see somebody I know who's got some rhythm and I'll join in. But see, God's not looking at that. He's looking at your heart of worship. And when he sees that, see, that's when he's looking at your spirit. He's looking on the inside of you, seeing all your past failures and flaws. He's looking, when Jesus looks at you, he's got eyes of fire that looks right through all those imperfections and sees the real you worshiping him. And next thing you know, you got something on your body or something on your body is gone. Lord, where'd that go? Healing, just supernatural, just manifested. The glory of God is what happens. That glory manifests. It's made where you can see it. It makes your flesh come alive. Leprosy in the Bible, when it would just leave. We're talking about flesh that was dead on a person's body, made new. That's what the glory of God can do. That's what it has done and can do for you. Amen? It can make cuts on fingers new. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's his business. That's the Father's business. That's what he does. He does it well. I said he does it well. We worship God in spirit and truth. The union of our spirit with the Holy Spirit. Remember, you are born again. Your spirit is made alive. But there's another spirit on the inside of you called the Holy Spirit. He's a person. And he has moved in. He's made residence in your body. You are his temple. Your body is his temple. And he goes to church 24/7. He never leaves that temple. Hallelujah. The presence of God never leaves the temple. Glory to God. I'm just kind of getting a revelation of that. His glory never leaves that temple. He never leaves you. He's right there on the inside of you. As much as you can believe of him, you can receive of him. I said, as much as you can believe of him, you can receive of him. Glory. That's fathomless right there. As much as you can believe, you can receive. My cup runneth over, Lord. Overflow me, Father. We become joined to the Lord, and that union is called one spirit. That's how you're going to know whether to do this or not do that. It's that spirit on the inside of you. It ain't going to be making a lot of commotion. It's going to be a small, still voice that has peace in it. It's all encompassed in peace. Like the union of a marriage, one woman, one man become one flesh. That's when you get born again. Now you're the one spirit, one Lord, one baptism, all into love. Getting back to the love boat. That's what we've been born again, baptized in, is his love. Amen. God himself. Our spirit becomes complete. Anybody like to make pancakes? Mm-hmm. You can get them complete. It says on the box, complete. All I got to do is add water. Colette's back here. She's done reading the box. Just add water. Complete. It's got everything in it except water. In God's spirit, in your born-again spirit, you are complete. And we could about say, just mix in that living water. Out of the wells of salvation. Out of your spirit, you draw up that well of salvation, and you mix it with everything that's on the inside of you. You've got everything you need there. What do you need? Healing this morning? Get my healing box. Now, mix it up with worship and adoration and thanksgiving and praise, and then receive it. Partake of it. Commune with God and enjoy your healing. Like it's served right there on your plate. Enjoy it. Put you some good old pancake syrup on it if you need to. Get you another scripture is what I'm saying. Put you another scripture on top of that. And he satisfies me with long life. I'll take that in with my healing. Mix that in there. Come on now. That's your strawberries with your pancakes. What else you need? Some whipped cream? He satisfies me with long life and shows me his salvation. The benefits of the Lord. He daily loads me with benefits, the word says. Daily loading me with benefits. The only person that's going to keep me out of those is me. The devil will try. I mean, he's there to try. He's there to try to snatch your box. Or he wants to really pollute your box. He wants to put something that's not, he wants to make you think it's not complete. No, you've got to do something. Reed, you've got to get that. Ruthie, you've got to go out there and get some more of that. No, Jesus says I'm complete in him. He's got all I need. And I don't have to leave the house to get it. Amen. I don't have to go to the store. He is my storehouse. He is my storehouse. And even if there's a famine in the land, He's my storehouse. I've been storing up some things in my house. It's time to make a withdrawal. If you're not seeing some things, if I'm not seeing some things happening in my life, maybe I forgot to make a withdrawal slip. Ask. Maybe I forgot to ask. He said, you have not because you asked not. Just ask. And then know that that fullness of joy, you can experience it. That your joy, He wants your joy to be full. Whatever you're lacking, He wants to make it up so you can have fullness of joy. Our spirit becomes complete. Our spirit is incapable. And you need to see this, 1 John 3:9. That's 1 John 3:9. Your spirit is incapable of sin. Once you get born again, in other words, you're sealed. What did I say, 1 John 3:9? 1 John 3:9. Whoever, say I'm a who. If you're born again, whoever, say I'm a whoever. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. For His seed, singular, Jesus is the seed that Abraham was going to have. That seed of righteousness that Sarah was going to have. That seed was speaking of Jesus. Not seeds, plural, but seeds, singular. Whoever's born of God does not sin, for His seed remains in him. Jesus, even though you sin, you didn't speak right to your wife, your brother, your sister. You said something you knew wasn't right. That's sin. The Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. So we're all going to sin in that fact, but it does not make me a sinner. Big difference. I'm still saved. I'm still born again. I just missed it. That's what sin is. You missed the mark. Guess what? You've got another mark on the inside of you, right? You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus that is incapable of sin. He is incapable of sin, and He has sealed you by His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, and you are born again. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you still sin, so you need to go back and ask Him to save you again. No, you are born again and incapable of sin, but I'll throw this in here, but you are not incapable of rejecting that salvation. You can walk away from Jesus, and it would be a bad situation. It would be, I'm not even going to go there. It's really unthinkable to me as a Christian, but there is a place in the Bible that talks about it in Romans. But you're not that person. Your spirit has been made alive under Christ. No man, Jesus said, can snatch you out of His hand. No man. You're the only person, because the Bible tells us to watch and pray. Be ready until that day. Because we could walk away from it, but who would walk away from the precious blood of Jesus once they have tasted of Him and known of Him, experienced Him? It would take somebody really lost in Him, without Him. We're not even going to go down that road, because we're talking about the glory road. We're talking about the love boat. You're seeing, you're incapable, your spirit is incapable of sin because it's been born with incorruptible seed. When we are born again, our spirit becomes a well of salvation, an overflowing river of living water. We sing that song here. There is a river, there is a river whose streets make glad, city of God. That's our city. I said, that's our city. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the water we draw from, those wells of salvation. Jesus is in those waters. He is the living water. Amen. John heard Him in the book of Revelation. He said He turned. He said He heard one that sounded of one of living waters, just many of waters. And He turned and He saw Jesus. With joy, we can draw from this well. Not in my mind. I'm experiencing things. Don't look to your mind to be your bucket, your source of drawing. You've got to go to your spirit. The born again you on the inside. And Father, I know there's joy in here. And by faith, I'm going to draw it out. I ain't feeling it right now, Lord, but You said to give me a sacrifice of praise. I'm going to sacrifice a praise right now, Lord. I'm going to start praising You. See, you can sing in the Spirit. Then I sing with my understanding. Lord, I don't know what I sang right there, but You said that You would give me the interpretation. God is good. That's what He just told me. And His love endures forever. See, He quickens your mind by your spirit. The Bible says we are peculiar people. We sing in tongues and we dance in the Spirit. But we got something working in our life. We got power. We might be few numbers in here, but we got power. Some churches can be filled up and be as dead as those nails that crucified our Lord. They're out there, but they don't have to be that way. The Bible talks about it in Revelation. I think it was Revelation 3, the church. It was a dead church. They said they were alive. Jesus said they were dead. Who are you going to believe? I'm going to believe what Jesus said. I know there's a difference between being alive and knowing you alive. I know I'm alive in God. Amen. And when I don't feel it, I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what my body feels like. I don't care what my wife said, my brother said, my sister said. I'm alive. I'm not going to let that determine my blessing, my joy. If the devil steals your joy, he's popping your bag. Don't let the devil steal your joy. If he steals your song, he's stealing your strength. Amen. God is able to transform our lives and lead us by His Holy Spirit as we renew our mind. That's your next step. Once you get born again, you have to, I'm going to say, you need to. God's never going to make you do anything, right? But you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. We had three kids received last Sunday. And you need to renew your mind to the Word of God. And see, that's what the baptism does, is you are baptized. Jesus is the baptizer. He's the one that takes you and baptizes you into His Holy Spirit. And you come up and now you've got power. You understand things that you couldn't understand with your mind, because you never can understand it with your mind anyway. Your mind is impressed by the Spirit. See, when you know something and you're like, man, I've done good at that. No, you don't know nothing. Your spirit is the one that showed you that. God is the one that showed you that. Just give Him thanks. Lord, thank you. Lord, I was dumb right there. I did a dumb thing. But then all of a sudden, revelation, the light bulb comes on. Yeah, that's what I should have done. Thank you, Lord. Forgive me for being dumb on that. You know, just admit to Him, because you try to do it in your own understanding. What you've learned might not work over here on this job. But God will give you wisdom in things you don't even know. Amen? Amen? And He'll raise you up at that job. I think about Amy, the job she was telling me that she was blessed with. And I, you know, going to get to work with flowers. And I think about, a lot of people don't understand this. There's power in what we say. Life and death power, the Bible says. She can speak to flowers. She might be working in that place and everybody's flowers just ain't growing like they should. She can speak to flowers. She has the blessing of the Lord. Amy, you can speak to things. Speak to flowers. Say, Father, thank you, Lord, for this dirt that's enriched. This dirt is blessed. It's your dirt, Lord. It's all your dirt. And I thank you that things that are in this dirt come alive and bring forth, and just they blossom and they bloom and they bring life. Watch God bless her area there. Amen? Because that's life. That's God said it was good. Why should I say it ain't good? And there's people that curses plants and they die, wither away because of words. I mean, that plant doesn't have the God kind of life in it, but it has life that He gave it. Amen? And it can be cursed. Jesus cursed a fig tree, did He not? And what happened? It died. It wasn't a spirit, but it had life in it, the life of God. But it was a hypocrite. It was supposed to have fruit. We as Christians should not be hypocrites, because we're supposed to have fruit in our life, right? In other words, what they hear you saying, you should be doing. Doers of the word, not just hearers, deceiving yourself. That's what James says. And they see that. They know that. They're watching us. The world's watching. I was telling Ruthie on the way to church this morning, I said, Ruthie, look at the roads. About 9:30 this morning, no traffic, just zoom, zoom. I could go anywhere I want to. Sunday morning, zoom, zoom. I'm like, this is what Jesus said is going to happen when He returns. He said, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? Are people expecting that I'm coming? I mean, I said, I don't want to be those Christians that are at home today and not in church. I want to be on the road when Jesus comes. I want to be in the house when He comes. The others might not be where I'm at. They might be left behind. Get to church, I'm like, well, where's the pastor at? He's gone. The trump blew. See, they don't value the Word of God. What you don't value, you have no worth in it. A lot of people don't, there's no value in this word. It's just words on a page. It's just a story book. No. This is a person. This book is full of the person of God Himself. Amen? Amen. Glory. People shed their blood so that this could get written for us. King James and Luther, Martin Luther. Man, they laid down, they gave up everything they had. Their, what we would say, their collateral, their, a lot of people laid it down to get this book published. They did the same thing to Jesus. They said, crucify Him. Give us Barabbas. Give us this thief. Crucify Him. Pilate said, what harm has he done? What crime has he committed? What crime did Jesus commit? He loved people. And they said, crucifying. See, that was religion. That was the devil. Crucifying. See, they were listening to the devil. They were listening to all that religion because he was messing up their Sunday program. Amen. Jesus was messing it up. That ain't what we've done. That ain't what we do here at our church. Repent. That was the message. Repent. Change your way of thinking. Because God is on the earth. God is coming down to redeem mankind. All right, I'm going to go through some pages here. Because this is the gist. This is the heart of what God wanted you to hear this morning. Is just His heart. His heartbeat. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. He never has a flat line. See, that's negative. Negative means you're dead. God's not dead. He's alive. Yes. Boom, 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 boom. There's valleys in those rhythms. But if you're in God, enjoy the valley. Because He's there with you. Enjoy His shadow. Amen. Boom, boom, boom. Because you're still alive. There's a lot of people that's in the valley and they're dead. Because their heartbeat, they don't have the heartbeat of God. They're flatlining. They're dead. Not us. We are not ones that draw back. I said we're not ones that draw back. We go forward. We go forward in the power of His Spirit. We're going forward. This message is going forward. Amen. I'm going to go a little bit further here. Jesus was transfigured. I didn't mean He looked kind of funny. His fingers and stuff were kind of funny. He was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration before their eyes. Peter, James, and John. It says His countenance was as brighter than the noonday sun. Kind of like the Apostle Paul when he saw Him. He went up there and He pulled back His veil. He pulled back this flesh and let them see the power that was on the inside of Him. And then Moses was there. Elijah was there. God the Father was there. The Holy Spirit was there. There was a lot. That was a mountaintop experience. You talk about volcanoes erupting and exploding here on this earth. That mountain was experiencing the glory of God. Jesus didn't do it just to say, I'm God. He did it to say, I am love. He pulled back His flesh and said, I'm love. I'm in this body, but I'm love. And I love you. The Father said, this is My Son in whom I'm well pleased. Sounded from heaven, and they were in fear, but then they looked up and all they saw was Jesus. But the glory was not there they could see, but it was contained on the inside of Him. They saw that glory for a moment. Amen. When we see Jesus again, face to face, we're not going to be in this flesh body. We're going to be changed into that glorious body because we cannot see Him face to face and not be changed. He's going to change. He's going to wipe every tear away that you could ever cry. It's going to be gone. And He can wipe it away now. He has. Because of His joy. Because of His power and presence. You start it. Now there can be tears of joy. Don't misunderstand me. In the presence of the Lord you can weep. And that's strong. That's power. Weeping shall endure for the night. But that joy is coming in the morning. Amen. So you can weep before the Lord. That's a spiritual prayer. I'm not demeaning that. But you weep for God, you're going to have joy in the morning. And He doesn't look at a time clock to know when that morning is. That morning can be in the middle of at midnight. Because He is the light of the world. Hallelujah. He don't need a light to come on to say it's morning. I said, God doesn't have to have a light to come on to say it's morning time for you. Because He is the light. You can experience light in the darkest place on the earth. Because He is the light of the world. We are changed and transformed. You get in this Word, you get born again, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you stay in this Word, and you're going to be different. You're not going to be the same person you was when you was born again 10 years ago. Because you're going from glory to glory to glory. Now, you can choose to go back. God's not pleased with you. He still loves you. He's never going to forsake you, but He's not going to pull you. And He's not going to push you. What's He going to do, Reed? He's going to walk hand in hand. You stop, He's stopping. But He's saying, come on, come on. He ain't going to quit talking to you. He's saying, go on, go on. But He's not going to push us. We'll be changed if we let Him change us. As believers, we renew our minds to the Word of God and the reality. And this is what we need to hear. This is real. These pews, this is just a effect of reality. Now, I've mentioned before, you can't see the wind outside. You see the trees blowing? But there's something real happening we can't see. It's the wind blowing. So that's real. That wind is real. It was created by God. It's the invisible things. That's reality. People think this is fiction. No, this is nonfiction. This is true. This is truth. This is life-changing. This is powerful. His word. And when this is the seed. Amy, you're used to flowers. This is the seed. And if you take this seed, you can't put this book in my... If I lay underneath this, I put this underneath my pillow, it's not going to change me. You hear there's a lot of religion out there, put the Bible underneath your pillow. That's not going to keep the devil away. I said, that's not going to keep the devil away. I can't put this in my heart. But I can put it in my heart by what I believe and what I say. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. See, now I've taken it from here and I've put it, I say, you have what you say. I have God. I love God. I confess, I believe in my heart, I confess, I am born again. That's reality. The devil's going to try to tell you, well, what did you do? You messed up. You're not saved. Yes, I am. See, he's going to try to confuse you. Well, I'm blessed. I prosper. Well, your checking account don't look like it. Shut up, devil. That's not reality. I'm blessed. Yes. Jesus has blessed me in all spiritual blessings in Him. And I'm going to go, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting stronger. See, that's some spiritual prayers you're going to have to be saying. A lot of people don't believe there is a devil. They're deceived. Now, he's real. He used to have the power of death. He used to have authority, but he's a has-been. Because Jesus said, I have the keys. Jesus says, I have the keys of life, death, and hell and the grave. What do you do with them? I don't have my keys this morning. What do I do with them? They're back. A lot of times I give them to Ruthie. Or I give them to Dallas. Jesus said, I give the keys to you. You have authority. I have authority. Now I give it to you. When he left the earth, he said, before he left, now all authority is given to me in heaven and earth and in the earth. Now I give it to you, church. Go. Be blessed. Be prosperous. Cast out devils. Speak in new tongues. Lay hands on the sick. Command healing. Don't pray for the sick. Heal the sick. You're not going to heal them. I'm going to heal them. You just say, heal the sick. Be healed in Jesus' name. Jesus is the healer. God, it'll happen. We got to believe. Got to believe. Got to trust God. Got to say it. Got to believe it and got to say it. Amen. Got to speak it because God created everything He said by words. Don't think we can do no less. Speak to that checking account. Speak to that. I got some student loans I need to start speaking to. That, Lord, you said, all my house shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the house, great shall be the peace of my home. Lord, all my children shall be taught of you. They're in school. Lord, they're yours, kids, Lord. The bills are due, Father. He ain't going to give me, he's not going to rain money down from heaven. But he's going to bless me. He's blessed me in all spiritual blessings. So I'm believing for divine connections. People that are blessed, God's going to speak to them. And I'm going to be able to be a bigger sower in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to have bigger blessings. That's what we need to believe. God's big. He's got commitments to us. But we've got to show up, right? We've got to show up. Our spirit prays. Our spirit can gain influence. Your spirit can gain influence in your life as we get our soul, our mind in agreement. How can two walk together except they be agreed, the Bible says. Your spirit has got, your mind has got to agree with what God says. You've got to say what God says. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you're going through, what I'm going through. I still got to say what God says. Because then God is able to make it happen. Make it come alive in my life. That's faith. That's how I get saved. That's how I walk. Paul said, as you have received Christ, walk in Him. Walk in Him. Talk in Him. Dance in Him. Rejoice in Him. Rejoice. Paul said, again, I'm saying it again. Y'all don't look like y'all rejoice now. To rejoice in your spirit, you're rejoicing. Now tell your body. Get up and rejoice, body. Because you're walking into a blessing. Body, you might as well start dancing now because you're walking into God's blessing here in a minute. Go ahead and start dancing now. That's what God's saying. Our spirit sows to the spirit and reaps everlasting life as a harvest. That's just a benefit of getting born again. It's forever having life. But eternal life, John said, is to know God. And know Him more. Know His spirit. The spirit and the soul in unity will cause a refreshing and ministry to the soul. You will feel something in your body. We don't go by feelings, but you shall experience a feeling. I experienced it this morning. Just His power and His presence, His anointing. There's times of refreshing. Times. That's plural, right? I had a time this morning. I'm going to have a time when I leave here. I'm going to have a time when I get up tomorrow morning with God. Amen? He's always on time. He's always on time. He's never late. Your spirit can only express itself through your soul. In other words, your body and your soul, unless they're in line with your spirit, are not just going to experience the blessings of God. God loves us and has given everything through Jesus to us. But just knowing that, we're not going to experience it. That's what He's saying. That's what I'm saying. You've got to act on what you know and what you believe by doing something. In other words, doing what you believe. If you believe God is your healer, you're going to speak it. You're going to get it in your heart. You're going to know it. And you're going to say it. And you're going to receive it. You're just going to say it. It's going to sound funny to say to your body, body be healed. Throat quit hurting. Whatever you need, because Jesus has made an atonement for your healing to your finances. Your spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit can only manifest power through your soul and body. See, it's there in your spirit, and by faith you grab a hold of it. That's how we get all these blessings that God has for us, is by faith. Faith is your bucket. Faith is the way you get that bucket down into the well, is by faith. By faith I receive, Lord. By faith I hear your word today, Father. By faith I go to this restaurant instead of that restaurant. I didn't know somebody was going to pick up my tab. See, being at that right place at the right time, that's hearing God. I like to say, I've heard sometimes a delay is not a denial. In other words, you're delayed here in traffic, but you're trying to get somewhere. Don't look at that delay as being, I'm gonna be late. No, you might just be right on time for what God has for you. Don't get in a hurry. Don't let this world hurry you through. That's what causes accidents, is not being focused on the Lord. The Bible says, if I keep my mind upon Him, He'll keep me in perfect peace. I'll be in that car praying for somebody, stuck in a traffic jam, praying for somebody instead of cursing somebody, we could say, or cursing whatever. We don't know what's going on up there, but see, our mind wants to curse, say negative all the time. We just need to be fellowship. That's a good time to get you a CD of the message today and turn it on and hear it again. Amen? Turn it up loud. Pray for somebody. The anointing will become tangible. You start doing this, you can actually feel the power of God, His presence. It'll become tangible. You can feel somebody draw it out of you. Love. Somebody's pulling on what you have on the inside of you. You can feel it sometimes. Receive it. When you feel that, receive that from the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. I don't know what that was, but I receive it. And I receive the full benefit of it right now. It's changing something on the inside of you. I've experienced that power. Guidance will become tangible. You can know this is where I need to be today. You can know this is for sure. This is where I'm going. Nobody can get me. Jesus said at one time He was going to Jerusalem and He was passing by Samaria. And they said His face was set like a flint. He knew He had to go where He needed to go now. So He had been in communion with the Father. This is where I got to go. Sorry, John. We're going here today. Face was set like a flint. That's where we need to set our focus on, the things of God. I'm going to end right there. No matter what is trying to guide me, I'm going to be focused, just like Jesus, on the promises of God. Or yes and amen. Father, I thank You. Let's pray right now. Father, I just thank You right now. Lord, I thank You right now. Just say, Father, thank You. Thank You for blessing us and causing us to prosper. I thank You, Father, for long life to each one. I'm not looking at age here, Lord. You said You would satisfy us with long life. Lord, that's long life. That's what I'm going to say. We don't look at years. That's Your life, living long here on the earth. I thank You, Father God, for long life to everyone at the hearing of My voice, the God kind of life, abundant life, the blessed life. Holy Spirit, we thank You right now for Your power that has been manifesting and revealing Yourself in this in this crowd today, Father. I thank you for that. That, Lord, things are being changed this morning. Lord, there's things that we don't even know on the inside of us. I'm talking about chemical imbalances right now that we don't even know about. Holy Spirit, thank you for changing those imbalances in our body. Lord, you know the outcome, that you know why they need to change right now. So I just thank you for manifesting a change in our chemical balances in our body right now, Lord, keeping us from any kind of sickness or disease right now in the future. Lord, we receive that right now. We receive that anointing, that healing anointing right now. It could be in your mind. It could be in your brain. Just any kind of chemical imbalance, God is changing. He's setting it. He's changing the scales right now. He's making them right. He's making them right through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for that right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you. We've done pray, but we thank you for Mason right now. Lord, this child is blessed. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the blood that's flowing through that child. It's not his blood, it's God's blood. It's the life of God flowing through his system right now, Lord, taking out any impurity that would be causing bad effects in his life right now, in his body. We have spoken to him, and we thank you right now for that flow that's flowing through him right now, cleansing him. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, that his parents, that they're going to see a difference. They're going to see a change. They're going to see a change. They're going to see a change in his body. They're going to see a change in that flesh because of your power. And we just thank you for that right now, Father God. Intercede for the Mason. Thank you for that change right now. By faith, Lord, we thank you, Lord, of your promises, that you are faithful, Lord. But that child is innocent, Father. He's not able to speak for himself right now, but we can. And we speak life to him right now in the name of Jesus for a turnaround, a complete turnaround. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Miss Alicia, Father. That, Lord, she is a blessing to this body, Father God. And we thank you, Lord, for being her king and priest, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for the stories, Lord, that she has shared here at this church of how much she loves you, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, for that love that is shed abroad in her heart right now, Lord. It carries her through hard days and good days, Lord. She is not a quitter, Lord. She's a blessing. And we just thank you for that right now, for strength that she draws upon from your anointing, Father. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Lives that she is still touching, Lord, just by her smile and the power that's on the inside of her. That, Lord, you have caused her to be a blessing and to shine forth the glory of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.